Hey, the final two prokim of the Masechta talk about bringing a korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash. And the previous Mishnah taught that there are two different prohibitions involved in that. One is slaughtering a korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash. And the second prohibition is the actual bringing of the korban on a Mizbeach and offering it up outside of the Beis HaMikdash. And we saw in the previous Mishnah a argument between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Saglili. And Rabbi Saglili said that one can never really violate both prohibitions. Because if you slaughter the animal outside of the Beis HaMikdash, that means that from the first moment of the animal being slaughtered, it was already invalid. And one is only liable for offering up a korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash if it would otherwise have been valid if it was offered inside the Beis HaMikdash. But if you slaughter it outside the Beis HaMikdash, so you're invalidating it from the beginning of its slaughtering already. Which means that by the time you come to offer it up on the Mizbeach, it's already invalidated, and therefore one would only violate the prohibition of offering it up on a Mizbeach outside of the Beis HaMikdash if it was slaughtered inside. However, the Chachomim argued against Rabbi Saglili for a very simple reason, that according to that, you'll never be able to violate the prohibition of offering a korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Because even if you do slaughter it inside the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, as soon as you take it outside the courtyard, that invalidates the korban as well. Not only slaughtering it outside, but even taking the korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash's courtyard invalidates it. So according to Rabbi Saglili's logic, one would never be able to violate the prohibition of offering up the korban outside the Beis HaMikdash. This Mishnah goes sidetracked to discuss a unrelated issue, but it's brought here because of its similarity to the style of the previous Mishnah, Tomei She'ochal, a impure person who eats a korban, Bein Kodesh Tomei, Bein Kodesh Tohar, whether the korban meat which he is eating is itself impure, or whether that meat is pure, Chayav, he is liable to bring a korban chatos if he did this unintentionally, because he violated the prohibition of a Tomei person eating a korban. However, Rabbi Saglili says, Tomei she'ochal tohar chayev. If an impure person eats tohar meat, pure carbon meat, chayev, then he is liable. However, Tomei she'ochal tomei, a impure person who eats carbon meat, which is also tomei, potter, he is exempt, shle ochal el adar tomei, because he only ate something which is already tomei. What is that reason? So, as well as it being prohibited for a tomei person to eat carbon meat, it is also forbidden for anybody, even somebody who is tohar, pure, to eat korban meat which has become tomei. That having been said, there's a big difference between the two prohibitions. The punishment for a tomei person who eats korban meat is kores. He's, so to speak, cut off from Hashem, a very severe punishment. And if he does this unintentionally, then he is liable to bring a korban chatos. On the other hand, the punishment for somebody who eats tomei korban meat is less severe. He doesn't get kores, rather he receives malchus, lashes, which is the punishment for the majority of prohibitions of the Torah. Now, there's a very important rule called Ein Isur Chal Al Isur, that if something is already prohibited for a particular reason, and then there is created an additional reason to prohibit that thing, since it is already prohibited, the second reason to prohibit it will not be relevant. And because of that, if there is a piece of meat which is a korban and it's tomei, it's prohibited to eat that. What happens if a person then becomes tomei? There's now an additional reason why he is forbidden to eat that korban meat, because he himself is tomei. But because of the rule of Ein Isur Chal Al Isur, since the meat is already prohibited, the second reason to prohibit the eating of the meat is totally irrelevant. And therefore, if he goes ahead and eats this meat, he will not be liable to kores. And he won't need to bring a korban chatos. Rather, he'll only receive the first punishment, the punishment of malchus, for eating tomei korban meat. And this is because of the rule of Ein Isur Chal Al Isur, that the second reason to prohibit it is not relevant at all, since it's already prohibited for a different reason. Now, the Chachomim argue on Rabbi Saglili, because according to them, although there is a general rule of Ein Isur Chal Al Isur, if the second prohibition is more inclusive, like in this case, then it's called an Isur Koilel, a prohibition which includes more things. In this scenario, and the first prohibition was eating this particular piece of meat, because that particular piece of meat was tomei. When the person becomes tomei, he now becomes prohibited to eat any korban meat, even korban meat which is still pure. So since that second prohibition includes more things, it is relevant even regarding that particular piece of meat, which was already tamei. Amru the Chacham said to Reis HaGlili, and the argument which they're going to give against him, because we already know the reason for Reis HaGlili, this is not really a very good argument against what he said. However, the Gemara explains that the Chachamim didn't really realize what Reis HaGlili's real reason was, and because of that, they asked the following question. Af tamei she'ochal tahor, even a tamei person who eats tahor meat, kevan she'noga bo itmohu, as soon as he touches that meat, the meat itself becomes tamei. When he puts it into his mouth, so the at least, even if he doesn't touch it before that, so the meat will become tamei. So every case of a tamei person eating korban meat is always really going to be a case of a tamei person eating tamei meat. So how can you, Rabbi Saglili, say that a tamei person who eats tamei meat is exempt? Of course, that's not a real argument against Rabbi Saglili, because even Rabbi Saglili only said this in a particular situation because of the rule of ein isur chalal isur. Ends off the mission of Tahar Shachal Tomei, a pure person who eats Tomei, impure carbon meat, Potter, he is exempt from the punishment of Kores and from bringing a carbon. Rather, he would receive the less severe punishment of lashes, She'enu Chayv Elal Tumas Haguf, because the punishment of Kores, and by extension bringing a carbon if it was done by mistake, that only applies to somebody who had impurity of the body, that he himself was Tomei and he ate carbon meat. Mishnah Gimel, the Mishnah now goes back to the discussion of this perek, and that is slaughtering and offering up korbanos outside of the Beis HaMikdash courtyard. Chomer b'shechitim b'aliyah, there is a stringency regarding the prohibition of slaughtering outside the Beis HaMikdash, more than offering up the korban on a mizbeach outside the Beis HaMikdash, u'v'aliyah m'bashechita, and there is a stringency regarding the offering up of the korban more than the slaughtering. And both of these differences are learnt from Psukim. Shach sheichid lahedyet. The stringency which exists by slaughtering is that one who slaughters a korban outside for the sake of an individual. For a regular person, he takes an item which has been designated as a korban, but instead of having the intention that he's bringing it as a korban to Hashem, he has the intention that he's bringing it as a korban for a regular person. Chayev, he's liable, however, the hamali lahedyet, one who offers up the korban with that intention, that it be for the sake of a regular person, potter, he is exempt. On the other hand, Chomer b'aliyah, the stringency which exists regarding the offering up more than the slaughtering, is that shnayim she'achazu b'sakin v'shochatu. If two people together are holding onto the knife and they slaughter the animal together, they perform a joint action of slaughtering such that that slaughtering is associated with both of them. Peturin, they are exempt. But on the other hand, ochazu be'ever v'heluhu, if they together took hold of a limb of the korban and put it up onto the mizbeach and burnt it, if they do all of that together, then chayovin, they are liable, and once again, this difference is learnt from psukim. The Mishnah now talks of a scenario where he'ela, a particular person, offered up, he bought part of a korban to the top of a mizbeach outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and this was done unintentionally, meaning he didn't know that it was prohibited. And after doing that, he then realized, that what he had done was prohibited, and it's forbidden to do that. And meanwhile, he then forgot again, and he thought that it was permitted, and he went back and offered up another part of that same animal, that same korban, outside the Beis HaMikdash, and then again he did the same thing, and offered up another part of that animal, but again it's important to realize that we're talking about a case where he forgot in between. If he didn't forget in between, then we view it all as one extended sin. However, if they were separated by his knowledge and realization of having done the Avera, then they are considered to be separate sins. And as such, Chayal Kol Aliyah V'Aliyah, he is liable to bring a Korban Chatos for every single time that he offered up a different part of the Korban. Divrei Rabbi Shimon, that is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. However, Rabbi Yosi says, in Chayal Achas, he is only liable to one Korban Chatos. And although Rabbi Yosi agrees that every time he forgets and then does that Avera again, he would be liable, Rabbi Yosi in this case exempts for a different reason. Rabbi Yosi learns from Pesukim that one is only liable for offering up a korban or part of a korban outside the Beis HaMikdash if the entire korban still exists, and he offers up the korban or part of the korban, but once part of that korban no longer exists, then he cannot be liable for offering a part of it on the Mizbeach outside the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, for the first time that you offered up a part of the animal outside, you're liable. But for the rest of the time, since we're talking about the same animal, you would be exempt. The Mishnah now brings an additional argument regarding this prohibition of offering a carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash. Ve'ein chayav ad she'ale l'reish ha'mizbeach. According to this opinion in the Mishnah, one is only liable to a carbon chatos, and he only violates the prohibition if he offers it up on top of a mizbeach, on top of an altar, which was made especially for this purpose of offering karbonis. If you offer out the carbon elsewhere, not on a altar which is specifically designated for the purpose of offering karbonis, sacrifices, then we don't even view this as offering up a carbon at all. This is not the way that a carbon is offered up. However, Rabbi Shimon says, afilu hela ala sela ala even chayev, even if you offered it up on a rock or a stone, which was there naturally, it wasn't created for the purpose of offering karbonis on it, even in that case, chayev, he would be liable, because we do, at the end of the day, find certain scenarios in Tanakh, for example, regarding Monoach in Sefer Shoftim, where he offered up a carbon, not on a mizbeach, and it was still considered to be offering up a carbon, and therefore he would be liable in such a case. Mishnah Dalet, the next few Mishnahs are going to show that if a carbon is totally invalid and not fit for being offered up inside the Beis HaMikdash or in the Beis HaMikdash's courtyard, then one would not be liable for bringing that carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash. That having been said, that's only true regarding a carbon which is totally invalid and not fit for offering up on the Mizbeach. But if it's something like that which we learned at the beginning of the ninth Perek, where the carbon became invalidated, but if it was brought up to the top of the Mizbeach, then the law is that it shouldn't be taken down and it can still be burnt over there. Because that item which was put there is, at the end of the day, fit for being burnt on the Mizbeach. Happens to be, in this scenario, it might have been invalidated, but it's still considered to be belonging at the top of the Mizbeach, and therefore it's not taken down. So something like that, even if it's invalidated, one would be liable for offering that on a Mizbeach outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Mishnah, Echad Kodshim Ksherim, whether it is a valid carbon, ve'echad kodshim pesulon, shoya pesulon ba'kodesh, or whether we're discussing invalidated carbonis, but these carbonis only became invalidated after they were brought into the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, meaning it's not a animal which was totally invalid from the beginning, but rather something happened along the as part of the procedure of bringing the carbon, it became invalidated within that procedure. In such a case, if that carbon was put onto the top of the Mizbeach, it is not taken down. For something like that, if he offered it up on a Mizbeach outside of the Beis HaMikdash, Chayev, he would be liable. Now, regarding the vast majority of mitzvahs and averas, things which one does need to do, things which one is prohibited from doing, there is a minimum amount for which one is liable or for which one fulfills his mitzvah. And one of the most standard amounts which is given is a kezias, the size of an olive. What happens if hamala kezias bin ha'oilo min ha'imurim b'chutz, one who offers up the size of an olive of the meat of a carbon oila and the emurim. The emurim refers to the particular parts of a carbon which are burnt on the mizbeach for every carbon, not just the carbon oila. Carbon oila, even the meat is burnt on the mizbeach. Not only the emurim, which are designated parts of the animal. Now, if he offered up part of the meat of the carbon oila together with the emurim and combined together, they made up the minimum amount of the size of a kezias, the size of an olive. Even though the meat and the emurim are two different parts of the carbon, since regarding a carbon oila, all of it is offered up, so we don't differentiate and we look at them as being part of the carbon oila where it's all supposed to be offered up, and therefore chayev, he would be liable because the emurim and the meat of the oila do combine. The Mishnah is now going to list a number of things that when performed in the Beis HaMikdash, the performance of these services is only valid if it is done totally. It's completely offered on the Mizbeach, or whatever it may be. For example, HaKoimetz, the handful of flour which is taken from a Korban Mincha, an offering of flour, and the handful is burnt on the Mizbeach, the entire handful needs to be burnt on the Mizbeach in order to permit the remaining part of the flour to be eaten by Koyanim. If anything less than the entire handful is offered up, then the service is invalid, and the Kohanim would not be able to receive the rest of the flour. V'halavoyna, and the frankincense which is burnt on the Mizbeach together with certain korbanos v'aktores, and the incense which is burnt twice a day in the Beis HaMikdash, u'minchas Kohanim, and the flour offering brought by a Kohen, all of that flour is burnt on the Mizbeach, it's not only a handful of it. And in this case, if anything less than all of the flour which is being bought is burnt, then it is invalid. U'minchas Kohen HaMashiach, and the flour offering of the Kohen Gadol, which he bought twice a day, half in the morning, half in the afternoon, Uminchas Nesachim, and the flour which is offered with certain karbonos together with the wine which is poured on the Mizbeach, and that is also brought with the carbon. In any of these cases, Shehikriv Me'echon Mehen Kazais Bachutz. If somebody offered up on a Mizbeach from any of these, the size of an olive, outside the Beis HaMikdash, says the Mishnah Chayev, he is liable, even though he didn't do the entire service outside the Beis HaMikdash, he did a part of it. However, Rabbi Lozer says that he is exempt at Shiakves Kuloi unless he offers up all of it, since all of it needs to be offered up inside the Beis HaMikdash in order for it to be considered a valid service. That having been said, even Rabbi Elazar agrees that v'kulam she'ekrivam b'fnim v'shir b'hem kazayis v'ekrivam b'chutz, any of these which he offered up inside the Beis HaMikdash, but they remained the size of an olive which had not yet been offered up, and that last part of the carbon he offered up outside. So that's the last part of the carbon is the part which makes it valid and completes the service. So even according to Rabbi Elazar, in that case, Chayiv, he would be liable because he completed that service outside the Beis HaMikdash. Now, even the Chachomim agree with Rabbi Eliezer that v'kulam shechosu kol shehein, any of these where part of it was diminished and not the entire, let's say, for example, the flour, part of the flour went missing or got ruined. If that happens before the carbon is put onto the Mizbeach, so the entire carbon is invalidated. Or that part of the carbon is invalidated. And in that case, everybody agrees, even the Chachomim, that v'kulam bachutz, if he offered that up outside of the Beis HaMikdash, Potter, he would be exempt. Mishnah Hey, one way of invalidating a carbon is by burning it on the Mizbeach in such a way that there is a chatzitza, there is a item which is blocking between the meat and the Mizbeach. That having been said, Hamakriv Kodshim Ve'murehem, one who offers up on a Mizbeach the meat of a carbon together with its emurim, the emurim are the particular parts of the animal which do need to be burnt on a Mizbeach, whereas the meat is supposed to be eaten. So the meat shouldn't be burnt on the Mizbeach, so I might have thought that it's considered to be a chatzitza. If the meat wasn't separated from the emurim, then it's considered to be something which is making a break. It's blocking between the Mizbeach and the emurim. And if indeed that is true, that it's invalid, then if you do that outside the Beis HaMikdash, you would be exempt. However, the Mishnah says, Bachutz, if you do this outside the Beis HaMikdash, Chayev, you are liable. And that shows us that this is not considered to be an invalidation. And the reason is because of a rule that min b'minoi ein chotzeitz. If you have two things which are part of the same item, really, then it's not considered to be a blockage. So since the meat and the emurim are considered to be the same substance, really, we cannot view the meat as being something which blocks between the mizbeach and the emurim. Next, mincha shel nikmatzah, a flour offering where the handful of flour has not yet been separated, v'kriva v'chutz. And you offered up all of the flour outside of the Beis HaMikdash potter, you are exempt, because that flour is not yet fitting to be offered up on a Mizbeach. However, kamotzah, if you took the handful out of the flour, you did the kamitzah. So now that handful of flour is fitting to be burnt on a Mizbeach. V'choza kumtza l'soicha, but what happened is that the flour then fell back into the rest of the flour. So the law in such a situation is that it should not be offered up on the Mizbeach, because only the handful which was taken can be offered up on the Mizbeach. However, if somebody did go ahead and offer it up on the Mizbeach, it would still be valid. But b'di'eved, that means once it's been done, it's considered to be valid. And because of that, if you had a scenario like this and you offered it up outside of the Beis HaMikdash, Chayv, you would be liable, because if this had been done inside the Beis HaMikdash, it would be considered a valid service, a valid offering on the Mizbeach.